Our text for today is from Matthew 25. It's the appointed text for Christ the King, the scene of the Last Judgment, from chapter 25, verses 31 through 46. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep on his right hand and the goats at the left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, "Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or imprisoned and visited you?" And the king will answer them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me." Then he will say to those at his left hand, "You that are accursed, depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not give me clothing. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me." Then they also will answer, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not take care of you?" Then he will answer them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me." And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Susan Steinberg, Jenny Schultz, and Rick and I, and actually Nick and Debbie Carter, went to a terrific Bible study with Gail O'Day of Wake Forest Divinity School. She's a preeminent biblical scholar, a member of the UCC in Greensboro, and I just loved what she had to say. She had a great approach. She said, "Ask the text what it actually says." What a concept. "And do that first. When did you see me hungry, thirsty, a stranger, naked, sick, in prison?" These are known as the great beneficences in the Christian faith. There are six in all. Six criteria, two groups. One is in, the other is out. But all of them alike in this respect, they are astonished. When did we see the king like this? In the past 2 weeks, you know, Matthew's been teeing it up. The story of the wise and foolish bridesmaids, the story of the talents, this is where we're headed today. This is what it looks like to stay awake when the master comes unexpectedly. This is what it means to bring the extra oil, the oil of righteousness, food and drink, clothing and hospitality for the least of these. This is what it means to invest. This is where we're supposed to be investing our talents. Into those who have nothing to eat or drink, those who are naked and sick, those who are strangers or imprisoned. Now, the criteria are broad. Who could possibly come to the end of life never having done any of these things? They're so basic. Additionally, the group listening to Jesus would have known that there were way more sheep than goats in a herd in ancient Palestine. Sheep had more economic value. They didn't have to be put into a fold because their wool would keep them warm overnight. And there would have been fewer goats because they were less valuable and they had to be put in the fold at night to protect them from the cold. So already we know this is a gracious judgment. You actually have to work to get yourself into eternal darkness. And something here is familiar. Thirsty, hungry, a stranger, naked, sick in prison. So I called Rabbi Friedman, and he identified them, five of them, as the basic requirements of what would be expected of a Jew toward a stranger at the door. It's an ancient five for five spiritual practices. Just like, you know, you go in the hospital and you see five fruits and vegetables or five signs of cardiovascular, you know, health. It's five because we have five fingers. We can remember generally five things. And so these are the five mitzvahs. In Christian scripture, as we can see from our lesson for today, this customary hosting then becomes the heart of the ministry with one addition. Visiting the prisoner is a distinctly Christian mitzvah. Jews did not use imprisonment as a form of punishment, and this is probably evidence that many Christians were imprisoned for their faith. So this list of mitzvahs or acts of mercy also extend beyond Israel. They were generally recognized throughout the Mediterranean world as a sacred duty. The practices stem from nomadic life and the harsh reality of surviving the extremes of the desert environment. In other words, hosting in this setting is a matter of life and death. One may perish for lack of water. Even a wealthy sheikh will need the hospitality of a Bedouin in the middle of a desert journey. Hosting was not about being warm and fuzzy. It was about sharing life, because God ultimately is our host and is our life giver. So our list is quite basic and now becomes the standard for entering eternal life. Not what we expected, at least not if you went to Sunday school somewhere around here. Once again, we remember what Gail O'Day said. Ask the text what it actually says. It doesn't say anything here about whether we've accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Now, I think that's really important, and I hope that's something Christians will do, but it's not in the text. It doesn't ask if we've been saved. And in fact, it doesn't say anything about what we believe. We are judged solely by these six mitzvahs, these acts of compassion. And now the judgment includes the ethne in Greek, Gentiles, the unclean nations beyond Israel. The hospitality that is the bedrock of gospel righteousness is described this way by Lindsay Armstrong. He writes, "In many ways, Matthew's depiction of the Last Judgment is like a wellness check. Its purpose is not to condemn or frighten, it's to provide a snapshot of our overall health, development, learning, and growth. It should lead to new habits, new ways of life. It should lead to human flourishing." And here I think his insight is so important. Growing antagonism and cooling love are among the most dangerous cancers facing the Christian community. Distancing ourselves from others, allowing apathy to grow in us like a tumor, expecting that our actions have no real consequences, or relying too heavily on past love and care of others are critical problems for the church. He sees the separation of sheep from goats, I just love this, as a diagnostic tool. He knows this because he knows sheep and goats are in here. We all are sheep and goats. And so the diagnostic tool roots out self-centered living and helps each of us measure how we're doing. It's a discipleship that seeks to see Jesus in everyday living. The salvation and wholeness that we seek is not achieved through some calculation. You know, are we sheep? Have we checked all the boxes? No, it's about a promise that Jesus is in our midst. There's a way to find him. And as it turns out, he's not hard to find at all. Think of this as a kind of research project, this spirituality of seeing Jesus. It's a path that requires us to see him in the stranger precisely in that unsettling experience, and further, to befriend this way, to welcome it, to nourish it, until we can see Jesus. He's readily available. We can find him every day amongst the least of these. Like the two parables that precede the final judgment, this vision from Matthew is not about requirements. It's a roadmap to joy. One who cannot feed and care for somebody is already in hell. He's adding to the hellish experience of other people. God does not have to send a person like that anywhere, although you might want to quarantine him so he quits making life difficult for other people. But one who has found joy in hosting is not worried about heaven. She's already found it. Rob Baker writes, "Some of the most memorable moments in hospitality come virtually by surprise. Unexpected, uninvited, they are like gifts that the recipient, even the donor, could never anticipate. There has to be a readiness, a preparation inherent in our attitude that allows for this interchange to take place. But the actual thing itself comes without warning. It's an accidental byproduct of a purposeful but ordinary gesture, and I love this, that went slightly awry in an interesting way." So for those who are forlorn, thinking that God's day of justice and joy will never come, this is a text of extraordinary hope and consolation. The one for whom we long, who is our beloved, who is at our center, is among us now. We can build a relationship with him now. We can have a taste of heaven today. We can see Jesus every day. So I hope you will see Jesus today. I hope this stranger God will cross your path here or on Franklin Street, in the Food Lion, on the off-ramp from Highway 40, in a hospital room, at the Orange Correctional Facility. Give in to what I like to call holy curiosity. And in the spirit of adventure, do some gospel research. Buy lunch for somebody who actually needs it. I mean somebody who isn't going to get lunch unless you do something about it. Most important, sit with them. Listen to what they have to say. I asked members of the Wednesday morning Bible study group to do this before our next meeting so that we could reflect on what that experience is like. Not being willing to ask people to do something I wasn't prepared to do myself, I bought lunch for someone on Franklin Street on one of those cold days last week. She was entirely curled up on herself, and her fingers were in her mouth. And I think that was because it was just so cold outside. I asked her, "Would you like to have lunch?" She uncurled herself and she smiled and she said, "You buying?" I said, "Yes, what would you like?" So I took her order into the deli and then I ran back out to find her. I was afraid I'd actually lost her. But she peeked out from around the alley and she agreed to come in with me. She said, "You know, I've never been in here before." And after settling herself in at a table, and being assured for the second time that her lunch would be paid for, she smiled from ear to ear and she thanked me, saying, "You know, I'm a Jehovah's Witness." And I wondered if I had ever seen her at my house. I couldn't remember, but I'll remember her now. I'll continue to advocate for justice so that someday no one will ever be on Franklin Street again without food or a place to stay. I'll continue to promote the IFC Community Kitchen as the best way to address immediate need. But in the meantime, I'm going to try to follow my own advice and meet Jesus where he actually is and not where I'd like him to be. I doubt that I changed that woman's day very much, but she sure did change mine. Take hold of this promise. Jesus is with us right where we can find him. Interrupt your day. Have a visit with him. Let the strangeness intrude. Move the needle on your tolerance level for discomfort until it becomes so interesting you forget that it's strange. This year, let's do it for real. Let's be six for six. Let's practice gospel spirituality and make sure we pay Jesus a visit every day. Let us pray. As we come to our time of prayers, I'll share the prayers that have been offered by you, and if you would lift up those prayers with the words, Lord, hear our prayer. For Barbara Wildermuth and her family and the loss of her father, Ken, Lord, hear our prayer. For Judy Loberg, whose brother died this past week in Texas, Lord, hear our prayer. For the loss of a sister who passed last night from cancer, Lord, hear our prayer. For a friend who is battling drug and alcohol addiction, Lord, hear our prayer. For the comfort of aging parents with debilitating health condition, Lord, hear our prayer. Prayers for a family as they confront challenges of independence and mental health, that they might find a path forward in peace and in health. Lord, hear our prayer. Prayers for Yolanda, her family, and medical team as they face decisions of care in the face of progressive cancer. Lord, hear our prayer. Prayers for a niece who continues to struggle with depression and for a direction for her life. Lord, hear our prayer. Prayers for continuing recovery from knee surgery so that this person can return to work. Lord, hear our prayer. Lord, hear our prayer. Lord, hear our prayer. Lord, hear our prayer.
Prayers for those who are immigrants' mothers.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Prayers for all who are troubled.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Prayers for my friend, Shirley, who lost her husband.
Lord,
traveling mercies for Brett Webb Mitchell as he travels to a new interim pastor position.
Lord, hear our prayer. Compassionate God, we tremble before your throne of grace. First, in awe of the goodness and power and love that created such a world as the one we enjoy. And second, in fear of what we have made of this lovely planet. Help us to find a relationship with you in which we find solace for those times when we are lost, for when we fear being last, for when we are made to feel little, and for the least times that afflict us. Having lived among us, you know how easy it is to be lost, last, little, or least, and how hard it is to break out of the tomb of being so defined. But as you came to raise the dead, so raise us into newness of life and call upon us to continue building upon our relationship as we too participate in raising the dead, in welcoming the stranger, in feeding the hungry, and in visiting the prisoner. These things we pray in the name of Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ and through his Spirit, we welcome you to the United Church of Chapel Hill, an open and affirming God is still speaking congregation of the United Church of Christ. You are welcome here if you are a sheep. You are welcome here if you are a goat, for God knows that all of us are both. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. You are welcome here. Please find the friendship registers that are at the end of your pew. We ask that you print your name and your email or other contact information so that we may continue to be able to have a relationship with you. And so as we come to our time of offering, I'd like to ask you to join me in prayer. Holy God, at your throne and before your holy judgment, we pray for unfettered joy to catch us in its wake. We ask for glad gratitude to outpour from joy, and we ask for fellowship to follow gratitude. Receive our offerings this day, that they might bind the wounds of those who are injured, promote the work of reconciliation, provide solace for those who mourn, give hope for those who wait impatiently for justice, and offer relief to those who are struggling. We give in confidence that you will take our small offerings and transform them into a mighty good. Amen.